Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom, and this episode of Flesh in the Pan, I am Snape, the potions master. We grew up in a world of online animation, and we're digging you out for your consideration, bringing you the tunes that made us who we have. Flesh in the Pan. Flesh in the Pan. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
This is a podcast where we dredge up from the briny deep some golden pirate treasure in the form of 3 to 5 minute Flash animations, mostly.
Mm. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you've used the phrase dredge up before now, so that's the second
time. Yeah, but not from the briny deep.
Not from the briny deep. That's different.
I'm keeping
dredge
it.
Dredge up part is...
It's still fresh.
Yeah.
It's still fresh,
sure.
Damn it.
Okay, yeah.
We have a couple of pretty cool stuff, and also a wild card sent in by one of our loving fans.
Which I don't know anything about, which is fun.
Yeah. But we are going to be starting off with an absolute classic. First of all, I should mention at the top of the show that if you want to watch along with us, which we absolutely recommend, you can go to our website, flashinthepancast.com, where there are links to both YouTube and Newgrounds or equivalent. For each of the cartoons, so you can follow along and so you won't get lost.
Or if you like to be confused, don't do that.
Yeah, if you want to be completely confused and maybe like make your own animation based on what you think we're talking about.
Oh my god, that would be so
good.
That would be
the most flattering thing.
Yes.
But we are going to be starting this time with a piece of fandom history, I think.
Absolutely.
We're going all the way back to 2003 with the original Flash uploads of Potter... It's really hard to say!
Potter Puppet Pals.
Potter Puppet Pals 1 and 2.
Ready? Let's go bother him.
And we're back. Alex is sort of just shaking her head forlornly.
Well, I mean, the second one especially is good because it answers one of my favourite philosophical quandaries about media. What if Harry Potter had a gun?
What if Harry Potter had a gun? Yeah. Yeah, that reveal at the end, that punchline is absolutely spot on.
It's so...
After an accumulated, I don't know, 3 minutes of whimsy and silliness, I don't know, just fucking guns.
They've all got guns, why not?
Are there any guns in the Harry Potter universe? Apparently not.
No.
I mean, it's set mostly in, like, the 80s and early 90s UK, guns weren't really a thing.
There is a passing mention to, like, warfare, I think, somewhere in one of the books, possibly.
Sure.
I feel like there is.
But, you know, like, McGonagall doesn't have a gat under her desk or anything.
Well, you don't know that.
Okay, actually, of all the characters who
she's
might...
She's most likely.
She's up there,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, I retract that statement. But, yeah, so this is the precursor to the much more famous live-action actual handmade puppets of Potter Puppet Pals, or Triple P, as it's known to the fanbase. It is! If you look up PPP, like, one of the first things that comes up is Potter Puppet Pals.
Wow, okay, I didn't know that.
But, yeah, it started here with this crude but really nice Flash animation. It's very smooth. I mean, it's just puppets. It's kind of like the Madness cartoons, in that it's, you know, you're just rigging this around. But at the time, and we'll get into this in a bit, the animator Neil Cicierega, hi again, Neil.
Hi, Neil.
He had only really done, like, these crazy madcap kaleidoscopic weirdness things, and he hadn't really done, you know, like, character models that moved around with any kind of physics.
Was his preferred? Oh, wait, no, he didn't make Ultimate Showdown. Someone else did. He did the music.
Yes.
Yes. And this was after Ultimate Showdown.
No, it wasn't.
Was it before?
2 years before.
So it was.
Yeah, 2003. And at this point, we actually looked it up just to make sure. Only two of the Harry Potter films were out.
Yes.
And only, I think, 5 of the books.
Hmm, wow.
Yeah.
That's weird to think of.
Yeah, it's weird to think...
A world where not all the books have come
out.
It's,
yeah, a world where we didn't know how Harry Potter was going to end yet.
A bit disappointingly.
That's a discussion for a different podcast, I think. But, fair enough.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, like the third film, they probably had trailers for it. The fourth book was, you know, on the shelves. The fifth one was either just coming out or just about to come out. So this was like the height of Pottermania. This was part of the wallpaper of being online and in fandom in the early 2000s. Because if you were our age, you know, like early teens, that kind of thing, you knew Harry Potter back to front.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you were one of the 1% of kids who somehow didn't read it.
Or didn't want to read it.
Yeah.
Because they were too cool for it.
Well, wizards and that, nah.
No. Come on.
But, so Potter Puppet Pals was just around everywhere.
Yeah.
It was enormous. I remember being invited to join a live journal fan group for it.
Oh my god.
You know?
Oh my god, that's so
like, I remember the first ever convention I went to back in 2004. Mm. There was at least one person wearing a Potter Puppet Pals t-shirt. There was like the little flash Snape, and it just said, "I am Snape, the potions master."
Oh, the memories.
Can we talk about the voice acting in this?
Yeah.
Because for 2003, that recording is remarkably clear.
It is, isn't it?
And despite it just being like a teenage boy doing little voices like this and trying to sound a bit English but not really managing. Yeah, like you can tell which one's Ron, you can tell which one's Harry, you can tell which one's Hermione. I'm just naming characters.
Well, I mean, Snape's voice has always been the most spot on.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's Alan Rickman. And I think anyone who's ever tried voices has tried Alan Rickman at one point. Because it's not that hard to do.
No, it isn't.
Okay, it's hard to do well, but it's not that hard to approximate. It's a bit like David Bowie. Everyone can try a David Bowie.
Yeah, everyone can try at it.
Yeah.
Few people are really good at it.
Yes.
But everyone can certainly try at it.
Yeah, yeah. So do you want to talk about plot?
The plot, well, in the first one...
In the first one, Harry and Ron decide to bother Snape.
Yeah, they just
which involves just...
They just kind of beat him up.
Colliding with him over and over again.
And then going away and go, let's do it again. And then doing it again.
Yeah.
A second time, and then Dumbledore gets naked.
Wait, you miss an important part.
Sorry.
Between the bothering and Dumbledore's naked time party... Snape hits them with the killing curse.
He kills Harry and Ron, and Dumbledore's like, oh, they're having a nice sleep.
They're having a nice sleep. Yeah,
then he robs them.
He goes through their pockets.
And then gets naked. Sorry, yes, you're right, that was really important.
Yeah, really important. And, I mean, it's very simple. It's just childish and silly, but it's charming.
Yeah.
It has genuine charm. Like, I still remembered it. I was doing my best not to mouth along with all the words while it was going on, you know?
Yeah.
Because I still remember it vividly. Like, this is the kind of thing that I would share with, you know, like, the other people in computer lab when the teacher wasn't in.
Absolutely. You know? Yes.
Where, like, I remember being excited for the second one when it came out, like, a couple of months after the first. The second one, which gets a lot more elaborate... In that they have more characters now.
There's more characters.
And
there's more going
sort
on.
Of a plot.
There's more plot than the first one, then let's just go and beat Snape up.
Yeah, the second one is Voldemort has taken over Hogwarts, which, spoiler alert, wouldn't happen in the books for at least a few years.
Yeah, many, many years.
So if you think about it, you know, like Potter Puppet Pals... Did JKR kind of rip them off a bit?
I think it probably had that written out. For a long time.
Yeah. J.K. Rowling's notes saying, in the end, Voldemort loses. Like, that's probably been there for a while at this point.
Voldemort turns up at Hogwarts. I mean, I think that wouldn't really be hard to guess at, even really early on.
But yeah, it's fun. Like, and again, the actual final... the final showdown is just... It's like, okay, so it's kind of a nice bait and switch in that, like, they're saying, come over here. No, stand a little bit to the right. And you think, okay, they're going to, like, drop something on him.
Yeah, that's,
you know, there's a trap door. But no, it's just fucking machine guns.
It's good. And it's a good logical conclusion of why doesn't someone just bring a gun?
Yeah.
Which people always used to say the whole time Harry Potter was going on. Is like, okay, but if someone had a gun, it'd all be fucked.
Kind of, yeah. I'm sure Expelliarmus works if you've got a pistol.
I really like that for some reason Dumbledore keeps saying alas.
Oh, like, yeah!
Why?
Alas! Yeah.
And he's like, he's found money and he's like, alas. It's like, no, that...
That's not what the word means. Not... I hope it's deliberate.
I think it is.
I want to believe it's deliberate.
Because of, alas, earwax. Yeah.
Yes! Yeah, oh, that's got to be it!
I think that's why.
That's got to be it from the end of the
first
film.
That's the only reason I can think of.
Oh.
Because that is a funny joke.
That's a very funny joke.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe that I didn't get that. And I've watched Potter Puppet Pals, like, so many times in my life. Like, not just back in the day, but, like, occasionally I go back and I'm like, is this still good?
Is it still funny?
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? It still makes me laugh. Mm. And since you hadn't seen it since you were about 12...
I hadn't seen it for a very long time.
Yeah, like, the punchline at the end of the second one.
It still got... Yeah, it got me. Still it got me you. Again. I was like, wait, yeah, I remember
you,
that.
You were cackling. For our Flash... Since we've already delved into the life and work of Neil Cicerega, I thought that we would take a slightly different tack, because it's mentioned in the descriptions for the Flash uploads that the Potter Puppet Pals storyline, if you like, is based on comics drawn by his sister, Emmy.
Emmy, yeah.
And I thought we could learn a bit about Emmy Cicerega.
Sure, yeah.
So she is Neil Cicerega's sister,
mm-hmm.
and she has worked on comic stuff for ages.
Oh, yeah.
She's done endless random comedy things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's slightly amazing how many just, like, little viral comics or viral images and that kind of stuff online originated with her.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, like, one of the best-known ones, for instance, is the Little Mermaid comic.
Oh, yes, that was her.
Yes.
That was both of them collaborating, because I think...
I believe so, yeah.
...wrote it, yeah. And then she just drew it, because she was like, I have to draw.
Yeah, and with Eric's mouth full of horrible teeth, and the line, 8 legs, 7 vaginas.
7 vaginas.
But she's been doing loads of illustration stuff, like, apparently her whole life. And most recently, she has been working on 2 very good cartoons. Gravity Falls and DuckTales as a storyboard artist. The DuckTales revival, which is actually pretty damn good.
So good.
And Gravity Falls, which was superb.
Gravity Falls was superb.
Yeah, Emmy Cicerega worked on them.
Yeah.
As like an integral part of the
really
art department.
Really important part of both of those.
The new DuckTales is great. Yeah.
She's very good.
Yeah. And she's still doing loads of stuff. She's still tweeting a bunch. You can find her on Twitter, which is at Emmy Sick. EMMYCIC. Yeah. And, yeah, there's just, like, a lot of really nice illustrations and artwork and really and also really stupid stuff that she's done, and it's all really pleasant. So definitely check her out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, next, we are going to go into the comment section.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I've only got a few, because it's Potter Puppet Pals, it's pretty universally loved.
Yes.
But, yeah, there are some fun ones that are sort of...
Yeah.
Representative examples, I'd say.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So for the first Potter Puppet Pals, I'm gonna keep saying that faster each time, and it's gonna get harder. Andrew Kismet said, "You are my god. I worship you, creator of Animutations." That was all. That was all caps. And I worship this too because it rocks.
It rocks.
Rocks. That's RAWK. Rocks. Woo, yay, hoopla to you!
Hoopla spelled wrong.
Yes. But, you know, woo, yay, hoopla to you. Watch out for snakes.
That's some of that lol random humour is coming back there. That's what that is, I think.
I
think. Unless it's a genuine
That's
warning.
A reference to a film, I think. But I don't know what film.
Watch out for snakes.
Yeah.
Snakes are generally not that...
You want to watch for them.
They're not that dangerous.
Unless
they're a dangerous...
Unless you live in Australia.
Unless you live in Australia.
Or South America. Or parts of Africa. Or
but in general,
Southeast Asia.
They're not really that dangerous, so...
Well, not here. Because in the UK, we killed all of our dangerous animals centuries ago.
Hey. That's the way to do it. Just fucking get rid of them all.
Yeah, just depopulate your ecosystem. That's a great way to...
It's good.
Yeah.
Follow by example. Don't ever follow up by example.
Yeah.
Anything that we ever do.
No.
No.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah. Anyway, Lesser Raven said, ha 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 ha. That is the funniest and randomest Harry Potter thing I've ever seen. Bother, 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 bother. And just from the sample I looked through, I would say that about 60% of the comments on this go bother, bother, bother at some point.
That's like the exact kind of comment I would have left in 2003 as well, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think bother, bother, bother was like my MSN screen name for a while. Yeah, if it had come out a bit later, then I bet people would have, like, ringtones that just went bother, 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 bother.
I think they might still have done, maybe.
Ooh.
It's possible.
I hope so. yeah, do you want to take Freeze?
Freeze said, how the hell did you fit that into 252 kilobytes? Wait, does it say how big it is on the site?
That's how big it was when it was uploaded.
Ah, okay. How the hell did you fit that into 252 kilobytes? It didn't load off another site or anything because it took the time. 252 kilobytes took to load. The actually thing was very good funny in some places. No, really, it was good and it deserves daily feature.
Yeah, so I picked out this comment because just to give people a bit of context as to like how big these files were. Because nowadays, like, we're used to YouTube videos which run into several gigs.
Yes.
Just for a regular vlog upload.
Yeah, it's at least, like, 10 gig.
Yeah, back in the day, we didn't have that luxury.
No.
Back in 2003, most of the people connecting to Newgrounds and the like would have been doing so through dial-up.
Yeah, a lot of people still on dial-up at that point.
Dial-up being, at the time, about 56 kilobytes downloads per second.
56 kilobytes.
Yeah. You know, hence preloaders, which we talked about in the previous episode. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why preloaders were a thing, so that you'd have something to look at while you waited for, you know, like, your 3 megabyte flash to load. Which would take a while.
It would, yeah.
I would load up several in the background and then go off and do something else, you know.
Mm.
But somehow, back in the day, back in 2003, Neil Cicerega managed to compress the flash file enough, especially with the audio quality, to...
It doesn't show.
Yeah, to fit it into 252 kilobytes, which is smaller than most images on the internet.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Well, nowadays, yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, it's... Like, it's really impressive, you know? Like, that takes some proper tech wizardry.
He did something. I don't know what he did, but he did something. Because, like we said, the audio quality is really good, and the file size is...
Minuscule,
and it doesn't look bad or sound bad.
No, well, I mean, we didn't talk about the music, but the music is, like, the worst farty keyboard noise.
But that adds to it, I think. I think that really adds to it.
Yes. So that was September 2003. The next one came out, December 2003.
Uh-huh.
So that's only a couple of months.
Yeah.
Which is impressive turnaround.
Mm.
A banana bread muffin, this is a commenting on the second one, said, wow, that's one impressive movie. And then, as a lot of people used to do, they break it down by category in terms of how they review it. So they say, graphics, pretty good, even though the figures were simplistic, the strings and stuff were a nice touch, and smooth as hell.
There were no strings. They weren't those kinds of puppets, they were hand puppets.
Style, pretty cool, made Harry Potter bearable, that deserves an award in its own, smiley face.
One of those people is too cool for Harry Potter.
Way too cool for Harry Potter. Sound, a bit annoying, I found. Which is fair.
That's most of Newgrounds, though, so I don't know what...
Violence. Good violence. I didn't expect those machine guns.
That's fair.
Interactivity. Replay button. OMFG. OMFG.
Didn't most things have a replay button?
No.
No?
No. Because, you know, to add a play and a pause and a replay button, you know, that's an extra however long in Flash. A lot of people just didn't.
Oh, you just had to reload the page if you wanted to watch it again.
Yeah, or like right-click, rewind, that kind of stuff. And humor. Hilarious. Grinning face. All those jokes. The subtle bothering.
It wasn't really very subtle.
It really wasn't. Yeah, that was a full, like, half-minute, like, pause before the bother. You know, that had some build-up. That, if anything, that was less subtle than the original bothering. In the first cartoon.
Isn't the cartoon literally called Bothering Snape?
The first one, yes.
It was...
Snape's wand not working, good jokes. Overall, make more.
And they did.
Yeah. So after the first couple of flash animations, they switched to these wonderful handmade puppets. Mm. And they made, gosh, like 24
yeah.
cartoons? Like longer ones, shorter ones, but like they took off massively. It was one of the first huge things on YouTube.
Mm.
I think if you look up the first one they put on YouTube, which was the mysterious ticking noise, which is definitely worth checking out, by the way, because it's still pretty good. That's
one.
Like still in like the top 20 or so ever viewed on YouTube.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. You want to take the next one?
Yeah, Blitz Eye Hero. Can't stop laughing. My leg won't stop shaking. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I think this tune had something to do with it. It's freaking amazing. Quite possibly the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh,
come on.
Please continue to make them, for they sit at rock sores.
Smiley face. Anime smiley face. Yeah, so, you know, that comment was 2005. 'Cause you look like that comment took years off your life. It's just the other kind of nostalgia.
People weren't
back.
Supposed to say these things out loud.
That's fair. Of course, traditionally we have some bad reviews. We've got one of these for the second Potter Puppet Pals. Andy Milonakis 1 gave it 0.5 out of 5. And he said, OMG, this one is stupid like the first. I'm only giving you a 1 for the shooting him with guns.
Well, if you didn't like the first one, then why did you watch the second one?
I don't know. I still listen to the new Coldplay albums when they come out, and I'm still disappointed. You know? Just in case. I'm open to the idea of enjoying a Coldplay song.
Maybe this one's...
Yeah, it just hasn't happened in 17 years.
Parachutes was a very long time ago.
Memories.
Mm. That was probably around this time.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, yeah. Coldplay, 2003, 2004, oh yeah, Coldplay were ruling the roost. They hadn't properly cracked America yet.
And they still do for some reason.
It's because they went, pop EDM.
Mm.
Yeah, at least their music videos are pretty.
Yeah,
Oh well. But yeah, so that was Potter Puppet Pals.
It was.
Which is just a delightful piece of history, I think.
Yeah.
And there's one more thing I wanted to share about it. Let me bring up the link here, which is the Harry Potter Puppet Pals Live Journal still exists. Oh. It hasn't been updated in ages, but if you scroll right down to the beginning,
oh my god,
the first post by Nils Cicerega himself offers some buddy icons, some Potter Puppet Pals buddy icons for AIM, AOL Instant Messenger.
Only one of them is loaded.
Only one of them is still loaded.
It's Snape. No, it's Voldemort wiggling back and forth.
It's Voldemort wiggling back and forth. Yeah, which is really good. Yeah, and they made shirts. You know, they engaged with the fan community. Here is a photo of a very young and adorable Neil and Emmy Cicerega.
He hasn't got his glasses on.
I know, wearing their Potter Puppet Pals t-shirts.
How old are they? Are like 12? They are 10 years old.
They
are 5 years old.
Let's see, this was 2006. They would have been like 16.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? I keep using the word time capsule on this show, but that's like, it's very
common. What this is.
Yeah.
Newgrounds is such a time capsule of all the stupid shit I used to watch.
Also, one of my favourite things about the Potter Puppet Pals Live Journal is that Nils Cicerega, in 2008, his Live Journal icon was based on the song Walk the Dinosaur.
Wow.
Open the door, get on the floor, everybody walk the dinosaur. Yeah. I think it's time to move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
So before we get to the next one, we have to talk about how we got it.
Okay, sure.
So friend of the show, another podcaster friend, Mikolith, he sent us an email. Thank you for the email. Keep them coming in to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. Yeah, so Miko sent us, the subject line is, here, I got a thing for you to watch. It's just a link, and it says, "My deepest, sincerest condolences for what I have just done. Your friend, Miko."
Thanks, Miko.
Thanks, Miko. So, he linked it to us, so we're going to watch it, because why not?
I don't know what this is. I'm terrified.
This is...
Oh, no.
EV Party... This is EV Party 2. And we're back.
That was a lot.
That was a lot.
That was a lot.
There was so much going on. Like, you know what? I'm going to come out and say it right at the top. Miko, you don't have to apologize for that. Because, like...
No, not really.
That was... that was a genuine pleasure to watch.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
Well, no, yeah.
In that it is this wonderful, distilled kind of...
That's peak furry.
It's not just peak furry, to me. It's kind of peak deviant art clubs.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, like, every single character in that, every single Eevee, is somebody's OC. Somebody's fursona or somebody's original character.
They have
designed themselves and poured love and attention into getting the design just right for them. And they're all together, and they're all just, like, they're all partying together, and they're all kind of like flopping around and dancing and whatever. But the color clash of everything together, plus the light effects, plus the other sparkles and fireworks and whatever, it's all this wonderful, like, technicolor soup.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
It's really fun. Like this to me is a window into, like, a party that I wasn't invited to, but I'm happy that everyone there is having a great time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine if you were part of this community, like, getting to see yourself in that crowd as, like, this visualization of what being part of that community might feel like.
Yeah, that would have ruled.
Yeah, that is such an important part of being in any kind of fandom.
Mm.
Is being able to see
yourself in it. Yeah.
And stuff like this. And this is far from the only flash animation or, like, dance party involving people's original characters.
Oh, no.
This is just an Eevee one that Miko managed to find. And
managed to find or held on to for years.
I hope the second one, because clearly it meant enough to him that he wanted to share it with us.
Thank you for sharing it.
And while I think the official position of Flash in the Pan is that we do not agree that this is somehow terrible.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say that's our official position is that, like, this kind of rules
it
in a way.
It kind of rules. Yeah.
Where do we start with this?
Well, I mean,
by breaking it out. So the song.
Yeah, like, it had an immediate reaction for me, like, with the drum beat, and I was like, why do I recognise this drum beat and this bass line? Oh, no. Oh, no, it's Fall Out Boy.
It's Fall Out Boy. So, back to the Eevees.
Yeah.
So, like, the setting is this big dance party concert with, like, a live band, and, like, for the shots where it's, like, zoomed in on the lead singer's muzzle...
mouth area.
Yeah. Like it's lip synced, and, like, all the different movements are actually pretty fluid and, like, frame by frame.
Yeah, it's pretty well animated.
Yeah,
really.
There was very little that was jarring and out of place, apart from once you get past the initial sort of sensory overload of all the different colors and designs meshed together.
I don't think there was a massive amount of tweening in there. Not that I really saw.
Yeah.
I think it was mostly hand animated.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can tell that this was a labor of love.
Oh, absolutely.
And genuine affection.
Yeah. Which is nice.
Yeah, and, like with each character gets, like, a few seconds of screen time and, like, a little glimpse of their personalities, like, like, oh, yeah, this is the lazy one, you know, or, like, this is the cool kid one, or, like, this is one of my favorite ones, right, who we only see for, like, a second, is, like, this... had, like, a pot leaf on its crotch.
Yeah.
And I want to know what's going on with that one.
Weed.
Like what's their story?
Weed.
Well, yes, okay, but beyond weed.
Weed. That's all.
fine.
The main, like, the thing your eyes were drawn to is a fucking pot leaf. Like, they did that on purpose.
Okay, fair enough. There's the sexy one. There's a sexy girl one, and also there's like an anime shy boy one that the sexy girl one jumps on.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, it's the 2000s, and like that's how teenagers express affection in animation, is through anime blushing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I believe that was an actual glump.
It may have been.
Mm. We'd have to check the tape.
I think one of my favorite thing, it's just something that like that's always tickled me looking back at like, you know, like original characters and stuff. It's like when you had like all the characters coming up at the end.
Oh, yes! Call of all the characters and all their names.
It was the names that tickled me.
Yeah,
it was just because like you had one that was like a Japanese word, and then one of them was just called Kevin.
Other names I noticed. One of them, I think it was a purple one, called Maniac.
Yeah,
which is like, oh yeah, yeah. Mm. I'm an edgy teen, and you hey, stay away from me. I'm a twisted psychopath and also a cartoon fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a big mood right there. Mm-hmm. You know? I think we've all had phases like that.
Or we knew someone.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah.
I definitely did.
Yeah.
Know someone like that. Just to clear that up.
Yeah. And, like, gosh. Yeah. And, like, there are some whose names are just, like, this garble of letters.
Yeah, there was one that was just looked like it was just a string of letters. It went by so quickly. I was like, what was that?
Yeah. And I can just imagine, like, if I was part of this community, I can imagine watching this and being like, oh, that's me! That's me! That's me! I'm in the cartoon! Yes!
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the whole point of it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's just really fun, and, like, it's heartening to see this... Like, there's not an ounce of cynicism here.
No. Which is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unashamed celebration. Hey, look at us. We're like a big happy family kind of, and this is all of us just hanging out and rocking out together, and we're all Pokemon, and we're all like, oh yeah, and there was I did enjoy like the one little scene. I like, first of all, I like that everything is like Eevee themed and Eevee shaped. Like, you got the
fucking mug with the ears on.
Yes! The mug with ears on. The satellite dish with ears on. I'm not, like, an electrical engineer or anything, but I don't think that adding Eevee ears to a satellite dish improves the signal quality that much. I also enjoyed that, this party is taking place in just, like, an Eevee pod in the middle of the wilderness.
In the middle of the fucking galaxy.
Yeah.
Judging by the end of it, I was like, wait, what? Where are they? What?
Everything just escalates.
Yeah.
It's like Gurren Lagann, right? By the end of it, you know, like, the scale of the thing is just astronomical.
Mm.
But also, I like how there's a brief scene where, like, you see some, like, you know, three people's characters, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
But then, like, there's, like, an alert. It's like, oh, no, these aren't EVs. These are actual foxes. And they're like kicked out or something.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, okay, that's
it's well. It, the name of it is Eevee Party.
You know,
not
you're right.
Eevee Party and some others welcome too, I guess.
Yeah, no, they really should have specified on the invitation.
Yeah.
You know. Would you like to learn a little bit about the person behind this? As we as we have some flash. Okay, this is going to take me a sec to bring up. Okay, so this was made by. A creator who went by the name of Bad Assy, or just Assy, A-S-I.
Yeah.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
That is what it means, though. That's what...
Yeah, Bad Assy.
Yeah.
And they did a few of these, like, very, very anime things on Newgrounds for a while in, like, the late 2000s. And they also did a bunch of stuff on DeviantArt, and this is what I want to focus on, because... Okay. If you go to their old DeviantArt, you see a lot of the old Eevee stuff, but also you see, like, a lot of illustrations and character studies and, like, 3D modeling and so on. The old DeviantArt links to the new DeviantArt. The new DeviantArt is Wolf Chi Arts, and some of the stuff there is really...
Really good.
Is really damn impressive.
Yeah.
They describe themselves as a tattoo artist and a former animator... And some of their work is, like,
shit.
Proper...
Nice.
Ooh, yeah. And it's kind of amazing to see, like, from such, like, humble, kind of naive beginnings,
yeah.
like, somebody developing their work and their style to something that, you know, like I can see myself buying a print of that at a convention, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, more than that, I can see, like, friends of mine getting that tattooed on them.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's really cool. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They say on the DeviantArt that they're always searching for new ways of expression, which is clear.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be, like, ashamed of their old stuff or anything like that, because it's still up on their YouTube and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just really nice. Also, I do enjoy that their interests include comics, animating, and boxing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's good that we like their cartoon, otherwise they might come and beat us up. It's a great little where are they now? Because, like, in 10 years, going from Eevee Party 2 to, like, really detailed digital paintings of an anglerfish.
That is a great picture of an anglerfish.
Yeah. It's just rad.
Yeah,
and it makes me happy seeing people's growth like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to go into the comments?
I would love to go into the comments.
Yeah, so we don't have that many comments because this animation is not that it wasn't really that popular. It didn't really get very big.
Mm.
Like, in total, it's had 20,000 views, which is pretty small for Newgrounds. And, like, it never really went viral or anything like that, except among its immediate community, I imagine. But there are some pretty nice comments to find. And I dug up a couple. The first one, pretty quick, Rave Urn said, cool soundtrack, and man, it just rocked.
It did.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely did.
Yeah, Leon Talon. You want to take Leon Talon?
They said, interesting. Not very often that I'm here on Newgrounds that I read a name of a submission and it's familiar. It's nice to see a couple of the people I know in here, not speaking of the multiple times I had to watch it to catch them all. The animation is nice in all the different kinds of Eevees in this. It serves to remind me of the zero creativity I have. Aww. I didn't much care for the music, but that's just being picky. Overall, it was very well done.
Yeah. It's sweet.
Yeah.
Also, I like Catch 'Em All, because, you know, Eevee's a Pokemon. Yeah.
I just got that.
Yeah. I mean, I have to wonder if Leon Talon got it.
Maybe. It's possible.
Yeah. Also, I just noticed, cause we've got the page up in the background, that the intro screen has a couple of Eevees floating around in it, and one of them's a bee. I didn't see the BV in the actual in the actual cartoon. I mean, I'm sure they were there.
I'm sure it was there.
Yeah.
In order to see everything, you'd have to watch that several times.
Yeah, you would.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we didn't even mention that there was a little Dance Dance Revolution sequence in it.
Yeah.
Where, like, instead of the arrows, it's like paws coming up the screen. I was like, oh, okay, that's sweet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's from the mid 2000s. It's furry, so there's definitely going to be
DDR
there somewhere.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. and also the last one is a big one, but
wow,
I think it perfectly illustrates what I was talking about before.
Mm.
So this is from Nine-Tailed Fox Spirit, who said, "Wow!" and then, like, an open mouth face.
I haven't seen that one before. Yeah. It's a new one, not me.
OMG, that was amazing! Cool, my friend showed me. So thanks for including her in the vid. Like, wide-eyed smiley face. P.S. She's the one with the orange hat. In the beginning, she's drinking a shake and is the last Eevee to get hit by flying records and right before the foxes appear. Lol, I like foxes. I draw them with my own unique style. Are Eevees the Pokemon fox? Or is that a Vixen Vexen thing? Sorry, haven't watched Pokemon in a long, long time. As in, last ep I saw was Togepi hatching, I think. Thanks for including my friend. You make her happy. Smiley face. As in, when she told me we were bouncing in our seats, and when I first saw this, I practically hyperventilated and had a heart attack at same time. Yeah, had a sugar rush while watching. Don't try, XD. Where's Eevee Dance Party 1? Sorry, I talk a lot really fast when I excited. Not good combo with my tendencies to get excited easily, lol. The only thing you could possibly do to make this better would be to add pause and play button. Otherwise, perfect.
Wow.
You see what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you see why I picked that one up?
Yeah,
because, I can imagine, like, that this infectious enthusiasm of you know, like, Ninetales Fox Spirit's friend being like, look, I'm in this cartoon. My character is in this cartoon.
And
getting to share that together. And, you know, because, like, this is part of the internet now. This is part of the collective consciousness.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I kind of want to watch this again. And, like, if I had the resources, like, track down what happened to the owner of each individual character in
that's
that.
That's a project.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, like one of the documentaries where they, you know, like, a band has broken up and gone their separate ways and they try to get them back together.
Mm.
But, like, for the Eevee Party crew, that would be an interesting...
It would take a long time.
It would take a very long time, yeah. Because, as with a lot of internet communities, they kind of get scattered to the nine winds, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it means that, you know, it can be harder to reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I think it's even more important that we have these bizarre, you know, visual, noisy, like, some would say cringy, but those some, I don't think, have had that experience.
No.
You know?
I think, yeah, like, cringing, in a lot of cases when someone say, oh, it's cringy, it's just like, well, you just don't connect with it in the same way other people do.
No.
It's not necessarily bad, it's just you perceive it to be bad because you don't get it.
And I fully know that I could never fully get what this cartoon means
to
the people in it.
Yeah, and that's special. Like,
yeah.
It means something to someone, and like they'll never be able to tell you like what that means to them, because it's this really special thing.
Yeah.
For those people.
Yeah.
And it's really nice.
Yeah,
it's
so
really, really nice.
Yeah, so again, like, thank you, Miko,
yeah,
for bringing this to us, because, yeah, from one perspective, it is this sort of atom bomb of teenage anime club stuff.
Yeah.
Like, none of the color theory is good, and very few of the designs, like, work together.
Yeah.
But as a whole, it all coalesces into this... It's just really... I don't know. I feel a little bit humbled having seen that.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you, Miko, for...
No need to apologize. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, I am genuinely happy to have been shown that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we go, let us take a brief dip into our postbox.
Yeah, let's.
And we've got a couple of things to talk about. First of all, we got an extreme puppy.
We actually got a puppy.
We actually got an extreme puppy from frenemy of the show, Great Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Joe's here.
I found you. okay, yeah, sure. Like, no, that's fine.
Yeah, and he simply said, I found you an extreme puppy.
All right, let's see.
And I'm going to load up this picture of a puppy.
Right.
And we're going to find out in real time how extreme this puppy is.
Fucking nice.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. Okay, we're definitely tweeting this.
Yeah.
It's this beautiful, adorable, tiny, kind of forlorn-looking puppy.
So small.
But on, like, not just a skateboard, but, like, a ragged old skateboard that's been graffitied on. And it's like, oh, he's going to learn to ollie one day. I believe in you.
Yeah. Aw. That's adorable.
It really is.
I love it.
Oh, thank you so much, Great Joe. Great Joe also recommended that we might want to look into Flash animated webcomics. So webcomics with Flash incorporated into them.
Yeah, sure.
He specifically recommends one called Der Dragon Warrior, which I've not heard of.
No, I haven't heard of that either.
But according to him, the comic was all done in Flash and had songs. And you clicked the little slime guy to flip the pages. And I remember reading a couple of those.
Yeah, I've definitely read a comic like that once or twice.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, there's Homestuck.
There is Homestuck.
But...
Oh my god, no. Like, we would be here for 10 years. That's a different podcast. Reduce that like 3 times now.
Okay, our 50th episode spectacular will be a Homestuck retrospective of some kind.
Oh, Yeah, that could work.
Yeah. We have one more email to get to, which is from a friend of the show, Sam Neeland, who is a pretty cool musician, actually, who did some of the music for quite a few games, including Hustle Cat. Have you ever played Hustle Cat?
I've seen Hustle Cat.
Yeah, Hustle Cat, which is like this visual novel where people turn into cats, and it's really cool, and like he did the music. Yeah, so Sam Neill wrote in and told us that we reminded him of one of his favourite Flash artists of yore in the mid-2000s called Vinny Veritas.
The name sounds familiar. For
the name sounds vaguely familiar to me, yeah. And it was Flash Animations based on a comic of his. So that's going to go on the list.
Yeah, sure.
For sure. Mm. So thank you for to Joe and Sam and Miko for writing in. And if you would like to send in an email to us with any comments, suggestions, recommendations, pictures of extreme puppies.
Or just puppies.
Or just puppies, yeah. And of course, as we said last time, crossovers and memories that you have of Flash Animations, you know, where you watched them, who you watched them with. If you made any yourself, definitely get in touch.
Yes, absolutely.
You can send all of that to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And before we get to the to where we can find us, I want to institute something that I'm going to call the Flash Fun Drive.
Okay.
In which I am going to appeal to anybody listening to tell five of your friends about our podcast. Anyone you think who would enjoy it, so we can help grow our listener base. We can help bring new people into this wonderful archaeological experiment of ours. And yeah, just generally spread the love of these cool things that we grew up with that we want people to remember.
Yeah.
That we want people to revisit and reevaluate and just get in touch with our past selves.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Flash Fun Drive, which is an entirely original concept.
Absolutely. Yeah. You just came up with that yourself.
Yeah. But no, seriously, tell your friends, bring them in, because like, we want this to get big. We like this podcast and we're very proud of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So plug over.
That plug's over.
Time for some more plugs. Alex, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Dex01. I am on Bandcamp, alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. I compose the intro and outro music. It's the same bit of music, but I compose the only bit of music for the podcast.
Yeah.
And also I have a YouTube channel where I do many and varied let's play videos at youtube.com/VNDLP.
Nice. And you can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's at Gertrude, PRKNS. And you can find the show's Twitter account at FlashITPancast. That's at FlashItPancast. And of course, you can visit the website where we have all of our episodes and links to all of the stuff we've covered at flashinthepancast.com. So, until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And until next time, bother, 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 bother.
Were you waiting for me to stop you?
Yeah, I was.
I will just let
you. For goodness sake.
bland this piece of crap.